Fridays this summer, we're taking a look at the federal workers nominated for the annual Service to America Medals. It's a prestigious career achievement award. In today's Sammy's segment, whoever thinks federal bureaucrats just sit at cubes and wear dull suits never met Dad Madrikowski. This National Institute of Standards and Technology engineer has spent much of his career burning down buildings. His findings have led to major advances in firefighting. And Dan Madrikowski joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. So you burn things for a living. Explain that to me.
Well, we're trying to apply science in the real world, fire dynamics, to structures. So there have been a lot of lab studies over the years and small-scale burns, but firefighters don't fight fires in the lab. Firefighters fight fires in real buildings, houses like we live in, office buildings that we work in, shopping malls or schools that we all attend. And so some of their tactics, given changes in fuel load, building construction, energy efficiency of the buildings today, hold more smoke in, things like that, because they're tighter. Their old tactics haven't been working as well as they would have thought. In fact, in some cases, they get a surprise where they may do a tactic to let heat out of the building to make conditions safer inside. And in fact, given the fuel-rich environment, the fire actually increases. And so we've been going around the country using abandoned buildings that are going to be torn down and basically turning them into laboratories, installing instruments to measure the temperature, measure gas concentrations, measure heat flux. We put in video cameras throughout the building as well as thermal imaging cameras. We record all this data, and then we provide this material to training organizations that work with the fire service so that they can modify their tactics. And one of the key pieces of going around and burning buildings, clearly the federal government can't really come to your town and burn buildings, so it's important that we work with the fire service. So the local fire department, whether it be in New York City or Chicago or Toledo, Ohio, or Spartanburg, South Carolina, they, you know, really wrap their arms around us, and we do our measurement science, and they do their firefighting, and we see how the two mix and what works and what doesn't. So it's really a good collaboration.
And you're also depending on them, I suppose, to get the word out to people so they don't think that there's a fire alarm happening right next door. They know what to expect.
Oh, absolutely. These are all very well-controlled and coordinated events involving typically my team would involve about anywhere from 12 to 20 people that would go out, but then on the firefighting side, on the environmental side, all the people that needed to do the paperwork to get approval for this and whatnot, we're typically talking about hundreds of people being involved at any given time.
And have you done this in the D.C. area?
We've done it in the past in Prince George's County. They had a over in the Oxon Hill area years ago, they had a high-rise, and that was one of the first forays, if you will, that we did when we went out of the lab and into the real world. NIST has a full-scale fire structure in Gaithersburg, Maryland. But this was one of the first times that we went off-site to start doing some of the examining. We also go to work with fire departments locally to examine firefighter line-of-duty deaths. And so we'll examine the scene, and then we'll try to apply some of our mathematical models to examine that. One of the first times we did that was actually in a fatality in Washington, D.C. on Cherry Road back in 1999, where two firefighters lost their lives and one firefighter was critically was badly injured. And we brought some understanding to what had occurred at that scene, why conditions changed so rapidly and the firefighters were hurt. Most recently, we've been working with Prince George's County. They had an incident about a year ago with a wind-driven fire where a number of their members have gotten hurt, and fortunately no one killed. They recently released the report, and we're working with them currently to finalize a computer model, again, that will be available nationally and internationally to fire services around the world that, you know, want to study and learn from that.
We're speaking with Dan Madrikowski. He's a fire protection engineer with the National Institute of Standards and Technology. So tell me about your science. Is this something that traditionally hasn't been brought to the practice of firefighting?
Correct. The study or the field of fire dynamics is relatively new. The first textbook was written on it. It wasn't written on it until 1986. And a lot of work that was done at NIST. NIST had a Center for Fire Research that began as a part of the Fire Prevention and Control Act of 1974. So basically, during the first 20 years, a tremendous amount of understanding and science was developed, but in many cases, it was basically limited to a fire in a single room that we had burned in our lab. And as we started to stretch the bounds and, you know, involve a hallway and corridors, and the fire model started to develop, we still really hadn't gotten outside to look at a full structure, to look at how wind might impact the fire in the structure, or how ventilating the roof would impact the fire in the structure, or ventilating windows would impact that fire, and then, of course, other actions by the fire service. So it's only been recently that we've been able to do this, and again, you know, through the collaboration with some of the bigger cities like Chicago and New York, we've been able to burn in high-rise buildings and get a very comprehensive understanding of how that behaves. In Toledo, Ohio, they had they were replacing a number of their schools, so we had the benefit to go out and burn in a high school. I'm originally from Toledo, Ohio, so that had a little bit of a, you know, extra feel going burn the school down, right? So, so that was, we had a good laugh with the fire chief on that. But they're big volume buildings, you know, the big gymnasium, the long hallways and all that sort of thing. And so we learn how to deal with it. Those are the kind of places where firefighters can get disoriented and lost, run out of air and die.
Yeah. Let me just ask you a very brief question, because unfortunately we're almost out of time. But given that this is a relatively new discipline, and as you're explaining, it can be quite complicated, energy efficient buildings might be even more difficult. Do you think that firefighters and the general public have enough education and knowledge to know what to do in case of fires?
Typically, no. I mean, in many fatalities, the people haven't maintained their smoke alarm, right? So, you know, keeping your smoke alarm active is good. Keeping doors closed at night to try to compartment a fire that might start overnight is valuable. And the biggest part of our outreach and the biggest part of our program is trying to educate the fire service in how this fire behaves in these new structures and with new materials, the different fuel loads.
Dan Madrakowski is a fire protection engineer at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.